to visit other churches in our time in Oregon. And interesting to find that several have a theme this year of discipleship, just like we do. You are my disciples, Jesus said. And then, based on that premise, on that truth, go make disciples. Amen. So, win the lost. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Praise God. The heartbeat of the Lord is souls. His whole plan, the context and content of the Word of God is designed to bring salvation. The mission of the Messiah was to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what he came for. And thank God that fulfillment includes you and I. When the angel said, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. The prophetic utterance there that we know to have such power and such ability to make a difference in the whole world. In fact, John the Baptist called him the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Not just the nation, not just Israel, but the world. Praise God. And thank the Lord, that's who he was reaching for. And that includes us all the way up here in Alaska, a little town called Sterling, in its small suburb, Soldotna. And we're reaching out. Praise God. They probably call it the other way around, but they have the right to be wrong. The Bible says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Saving, salvation, is very prominent in the Gospels and throughout the Word of God. We preach the message at all times, and we use words when necessary. Your life, your very life, preaches a message. Amen. And you augment that with words and explanations, elaboration, because this message is so powerful. Amen. Why be one who would reach the lost? Why be one who would win the lost? Why be a soul winner? Well, it's for God's glory. It's not for our glory. It's for God's glory. Amen. And he desires to bring increase to his people. You look at the Hebrew nation in the book of Exodus, there was increase in spite of the persecution, in spite of the problems, in spite of the baby boys being thrown into the Nile and the slave labor to such extreme. There was increase. Likewise, in the book of Acts, there was increase as far as what God desired to do with his church. The Lord added daily to the church. Praise God. And we look at creation, and it won't be long now, or maybe some of you have already seen a moose calf. This is at the time that they are going to be born, and the increase is there. The walkers and the Wades could probably relate to the area that I drove through on the way to Coos Bay and the Umpqua River. And all the sheep, my goodness, lots of sheep. Some cattle, but just a whole bunch of sheep. I only saw one black one, the proverbial black sheep. But lots of lambs, a whole bunch of lambs. Because that's the way God designed it. Amen. went through a town called Elkton. 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 And as we drove along, we saw a ton of elk. And thought, oh, okay, that's why this is called Elkton. Probably about 100 bulls and cows, and they were in separate parts of the field. But the bulls had about 10, 12 inches of rack already grown in velvet, and they're right up by the side of the road. Pretty amazing. God's design was for increase. And that's why he wants you to be a soul winner. And it's not by our ability or our wisdom and our ingenuity and so on. God didn't call the wise. He didn't call the mighty. He didn't call the noble. He says, you see your calling, brethren, and how he chose the foolish and the weak, the insignificant, the despised. Now, that's not a slam on you. That's simply pointing out God's going to use what people perhaps would overlook. And he would do it for his glory. In fact, that passage in 1 Corinthians said, no flesh should glory in his presence. Amen. We simply understand it's going to be because we want to lift him up. He wants to use you, and he wants to use your testimony for his glory. Praise God. And so a passion for souls is good. It's good for the church because Jesus called his disciples and said, I will make you fishers of men. And they were catching fish, and he blessed them and got their attention, and then said, you are going to be fishers of men. Yeah. Now, when fishermen aren't catching fish, they get a little petty. They start criticizing. Everybody's got a suggestion of where the fish are, what depth, what bait, and the time of day, the phase of the moon. I mean, just all kinds of reasons why there aren't fish. Fishermen aren't catching fish, they're fighting. But when fishermen are catching fish, who cares if the coffee's cold? Who cares if it's, you know, pouring rain and you're getting drenched? Who cares if the slime is splashing all over the place and you're getting coated pretty good? You know, my little skiff with three fishermen in it and 100 sockeye, I have to remind them now, we've got to flay all these fish. You know, oh, let's catch a few more. And we lose count and end up with quite a few because it's fun catching all those fish. And when you're doing a work of the Lord and being a fisher of men, it produces unity, a unity of purpose, a unity of growth, the family of faith. Will grow, and you team up for the truth. And teaming up on a Bible study is a good idea. If you, some people don't like to read out loud, and so that you don't have to do all the reading as you're teaching, take somebody along to do the reading for you. And they've already found the scriptures. You know, somebody new in the scriptures is not going to know where Exodus is. They're not going to know where Matthew is and so on. And it's a little embarrassing for them to be thumbing through. Well, take a reader along. Team up for truth. Get a prayer partner saying, I'm going to be teaching 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Could you pray while I'm teaching. And it doesn't have to be a prayer for the whole time, just a prayer, oh God. Bless Brother Jordan as he's teaching the Word of God this afternoon. Quicken his mind. Let there be no distractions. Let there be no interruptions. And let your spirit move. Let your truth be made known. Let revelation come. Let their hearts be open. Amen. You pray. And you trust God that there's going to be that kind of work. Praise God. A passion for souls is good for the individual. The redemption of others often means renewal for us. How often do you visit the time of baptism for yourself when you see somebody else getting baptized in Jesus' name? Amen. How often do you remember the cleansing of forgiveness when someone else is repenting before the Lord and feeling that cleansing, that forgiveness? Praise God. Reliving our baptism, rejoicing in receiving the Spirit. Thank God that all of those things again become a reality. That helps you keep your first love. Everybody say, first love. That first love that the Lord desires us to have in our hearts for Him. Amen. Thank God. Paul said that by all means I would save some. And he wasn't changing the truth. He wasn't watering down the gospel. He wasn't making it more socially appealing. He was simply trying to use every means and every method to reach out to people and bring a change into their lives. Amen. So how does a passion for souls reveal itself? There's a desire, a deep, heartfelt desire to see others saved in your family, among your friends, and when they do find the Lord, when there is a new birth experience that they can have in the water and spirit, intense joy is there. Praise God. And it becomes something that is very real, almost tangible, in terms of the blessing that we receive as we recognize souls are being saved. Amen. Intercessory prayer for souls is not easy. Not easy. Sometimes you feel like things are coming apart inside you. And the burden is heavy sometimes. And you recognize the loss that people are experiencing, the destruction, the death, and all of the aspects of culture and society that has laid traps for people. So intercessory prayer is agonizing for the spread of the gospel. But then, when you're done with that, you organize for outreach. Not haphazard, not hit or miss. You are trying to determine the best way to use your time and the person that God wants you to teach. Amen. It's important for us to understand there's more than enough. Amen. Way more than enough. And the sharing is so important. Those lepers that ventured from the city of Samaria to the camp of the enemy said, "We're going to die anyway. If we sit here, we're just going to die, either from our disease or from starvation. If we go to the camp of the enemy, they may slaughter us just for their enjoyment. Or they may feed us. So let's go." And so they did. And oh my, what an incredible miracle the Lord worked as a result of their stepping out. They enjoyed abundance. They ran from tent to tent, finding garments, finding gold and silver. They ran from campfire to campfire, gorging themselves on the food that was left cooking. And then they recognized their responsibility. And they said, "We do not well," because there was a city that needed what they had. And there was enough for the whole city. Yeah. Praise God. And they didn't have to charge exorbitant prices. The supply and demand made it such that things were sold just as the prophet said. Praise God. So the Lord can do the work. Adapting yourself to the need is very important. Meet the condition and the capacity of others to understand and talk to them. You talk to children on a different level that you would talk to adults. And you can't expect them to be little adults. They're not little adults. They're children. And so you adjust your level of communication. And likewise, you adapt to the educated or the illiterate. You change your approach. And you don't want to embarrass. You don't want to inconvenience. Whatever the social status is, poor or wealthy, you make adjustments. Because by all means, you're trying to reach some. You're trying to save some. Amen. Thank God. The Good Samaritan did not pass the man by. The Levite did. The priest did. The Good Samaritan went to the wounded man. Took care of his needs, both there on the road and then at the hotel, the inn, that he took him to. Go to those who are wounded in heart and spirit. Go to those who need the uplifting and the provision that you have for them. Put yourself at the disposal of the divine worker of salvation. Your time, eternity is a long time. Time here on earth we measure in seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, and so on. Put yourself at the disposal of the one who can work divine deliverance. Use your abilities to achieve goals and accomplishments in his kingdom. Your resources, such as your home, your car, your computer, your kitchen, all of those things we devote to the Lord and his work. Praise God. And we let him make us. There's his creative ability again. The one who spoke everything into existence, he made it. He created. All things were made by him. By him all things consist. Praise God. And there's an element of faith that believes that. Praise God. He spoke it all into existence. And then if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's his creative ability. And now his creative ability says, I will make you fishers of men. Praise God. And we want the Lord to do that. He'll make us fruitful. If you abide with him, there's fruit that is going to come forth, according to John 15 and 5. And moreover, there's much fruit. Everybody say much fruit. Not just fruit to establish the fact that you're a productive tree, but much fruit is what the Lord has in mind. And then he tells us, without me, you can do nothing. Amen. So it's no wonder that the opposition to the apostles took knowledge of them. First of all, they said, these men are unlearned and ignorant. That's quite the compliment. But they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And besides that, here's that crippled man standing there. 40 years plus. Never walked. They all knew him. They had all probably contributed a bit of charity to him. And now here he is standing there. They couldn't deny that. And they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Praise God. Being with Jesus is wonderful. Being with Jesus is powerful. Being with Jesus enables you to do the work of God. Amen. One preacher said, you talk to Jesus about men, and then you go and talk to men about Jesus. That's the way it works. You spend time with him, and then you're able to take that power that he gives you and go and spend time with people and let them know about your life experiences. Praise God. Don't forget where the Lord has brought you from. Don't forget what he's brought you through. Amen. Praise God. Sometimes the one who is well experienced in a trade or an ability forgets what it's like to be a beginner and become a bit impatient. Don't be impatient. Remember where the Lord brought you from. Remember how he delivered you from darkness. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 1 and 4. Here's part of the life experiences also. Notice how comfort is mentioned four times in this passage of Scripture. He comforts us in our tribulation, that we in turn are able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Because we've been comforted. And then using that comfort of God, we extend it to others. Everyone needs an encouraging word. Yes. My goodness, there's so many things that are going on in our world today that that are discouraging. Be encouraging. And then the way to do that is certainly to share the word of God. And thank God we can comfort others with the comfort that God has given to us. Because we've experienced a few things ourselves. Amen. And thank the Lord. It often turns out that the reason you have had a particular test or trial or difficulty is because you're going to encounter somebody who needs encouragement going through that same circumstance. They're facing the same situation you just came through by the help of the Lord. And you're able to offer real life experience, real life comfort, and not just a bunch of platitudes and sayings from a plaque, but something that's real, something that's powerful. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Having that relationship again. That sacred sensitivity to the Spirit of God, that recognition of how I can be used of the Lord. What an incredible revival in Acts chapter 8. And Philip, going there by the direction of the Spirit, preaching Christ, seeing miracles, awesome things happening. They were baptized in the name of Jesus. Twice it says it in Acts 8. Praise God. It doesn't eliminate that portion. It emphasizes it because they knew they needed to change. And so Philip is being instrumentally used by the power of God. Peter and John come and lay hands on them, and they receive the Spirit, a supernatural event that just shook things up even more so. Then the angel said, "Arise and go toward the south." Philip's, "What for?" "I need to stay here. This is tremendous revival. I need to teach. I need to help. I need to disciple." "No, arise and go toward the south, Gaza, which is desert." Wow. That doesn't sound like fun. So he did, because the Spirit was directing him. And then while he is down in that desert region, probably wondering what was going on in Samaria, probably missing all of the benefits and comforts and conveniences of being in the city, the Spirit said, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot that you see coming down." the road. Praise God. Be ready to cast your net. So he stuck out his thumb. The Ethiopian drew his chariot to a halt. Philip climbed up and saw that he had a scroll open. And he was reading from the book of Isaiah, what we call chapter 53. And Philip asked, "You understand what you're reading?" "How can I," he said, "except some man guide me?" Don't you know that Philip connected the dots in that moment and said, "I'm the man. That's why you told me to come down here. That's why you told me to join this chariot with this man." And he preached to him Jesus. Praise God. Be ready to cast your net all times. Praise God. James 5 and 7. Here again, an emphasis upon a particular word. We looked at comfort in the last scripture. This one is patience. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." Then he talks in terms of a harvest. The farmer, the husbandman, is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, and he has long patience for it. The early and latter rain are going to fall. The crop is going to grow. It's going to be time to harvest, and then you're going to be very busy. But be patient. Establish your hearts. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Amen. You definitely don't want to miss it, is what he's saying. You definitely want to be ready. You really want to make sure you're prepared, and then reach out for the fruit of others and bring them along. Praise God. Because sowing will bring reaping. Psalm 126, verse 5, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Praise God. The sowing and the burden, the crying, the tears, and the reaping, the rejoicing, the excitement, the preparation. Praise God. And then verse 6, in that same chapter, Psalm 126. "He that goeth forth and weepeth." There's still that recognition that, "God, I need your help. God, I need your direction. I need your power. I need your enablement. I can't do it myself. God, I need you." And then the weeping for souls, because they desperately need this truth. They need this experience. They need to be delivered. They need to be saved. And carrying that precious seed. I like how it ends with great positive emphasis. "Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Amen. Now picture in your mind the old style, not the combines, not the highly mechanized means of harvest today, but kind of like Joseph pointing out to his brothers, "We all had our sheaves gathered, and you guys bowed down to me." And not a very popular statement, but one that came to pass almost two decades later. A very personal touch on those sheaves, ones that you've gathered, one that you've put your hands on, one that your fingerprints are on. Praise God. That's how the Lord desired it. That's how he wants it. And Galatians 6 and 9, "We shall reap in due season if we faint not." The fainting due to things being drawn out and long term, the fainting due to the effort that seems to be endless, is a possibility that Scripture is letting us know. But don't faint, because you shall reap in due season. I like the New Living Translation. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Praise God. Don't give up. And let the power of the Lord be displayed in your efforts. Praise God. One preacher said, work as if it all depends on you, and pray as if it all depends on God. Your involvement with the Lord is what is going to make a difference. Praise God. And thank the Lord that is ongoing and continuous. All right, another passage, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. He likes to be redundant to some degree here. The Spirit is directing him to emphasize what he means. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't be flip-flopping. Don't be on again, off again. No, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Praise God. Do you know that? Are you convinced of that? That goes back to Psalm 126, verse 6. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So this passage is likewise letting us know, don't falter, don't fail, don't give up, don't feel like it's all exercise in futility, because you know your labor is not in vain. Praise God. Look in the mirror. And know that labor is not in vain. Somebody prayed for you. Yeah. Somebody witnessed to you. Yeah. Somebody knocked on your door. Somebody rang your phone. Are you glad that labor was not in vain? Praise God. There'll be a whole bunch of other people that are going to be glad your labor was not in vain. You didn't give up. Yeah. You didn't stop. You didn't quit. You didn't faint. You kept on. Praise God. And then all the excitement of that soul coming to the Lord as we again relive our conversion. And we remember our baptism and the thrill of being filled with the Spirit of God and the awe and the wonder. How incredible that I have the Spirit of God within me. Praise God. Because that's what the Lord desires to do. And just as we are thrilled with a baby born into a home, born to a couple, and we're excited about that new life and so on, thank God we can be excited about the new life that comes in the Spirit. Praise God. Now, when is an interesting way to picture it. There are a lot of sports activities going on in our world right now. There's playoffs in several different sports, professional sports, and they get a lot of attention, a lot of TV time, and a lot of money invested in it. And winning is everything. They're not just participating to get a ribbon that says I participated in the NBA playoffs. No, they're after a championship. Win. The thing is, though, 5 years from now, who's going to remember who won? But you'll remember a soul that you won. You'll remember that one you prayed for, that you cried for, you fasted for, that you taught Bible study to, that you brought to the house of God. You answered question after question. Amen. And then you saw them get baptized in the precious name of Jesus. You saw them receive the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. And then you helped them take more steps to become a disciple. Praise God. And eternity will reveal those efforts, that long-suffering, that patience, the comfort you extended, all of the work that you did to win that soul. Yeah, that's the right word. That's the right word. Because to lose is a terrible thought. To lose, no other alternative. Thank God we have a hope. Thank God we have strength and we have victory. We have power, we have blessing, we have the presence of God. Amen. Jesus never lost. Amen. And he doesn't want you to lose. Let's stand tonight. Praise God. We'll finish this up after the revival. The special services next week. What a great time to win the victory for ourselves and for our souls, and then to win with another soul, another person, another family, another couple, another child. Praise God. And to let the Lord use us. Praise God. The work of the Lord. Your labor. I guess it's important for us to emphasize that too. It is work. It is labor. Anything worth having is worth the effort. And certainly, in reaching for souls, that's true as well. Praise God. Thank the Lord that the Lord says, I want to use you. Your testimony is effective. Your witness can be powerful. That's what the Lord says. Amen. And we can let him use us. Let's come and pray here for a few minutes as we close. Praise God.